Well, guys, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Youth and Culture Podcast, where youth ministry and culture collide. I am your host, Ryan Sebastian, and I am joined with my co-host, David Pinkham.
So, guess what happened over the last week and a half in my household?
What was that?
Every day, or every other day, another kid got sick.
What was it, the COVID?
I will not take that test, so I don't know. No, but seriously, I mean, if I need to, I will. But so I don't know who started it. I think it was, I'm not going to name names. I don't want to embarrass them in public. But one of our kids was kind of feeling like, so we're like, okay, well, you know, just rest. Don't run around like a crazy person. And then in the middle of the night, they just chucked from the top bunk and hit the ground and it went everywhere. Anyway, so yeah, I'm sure that they're really excited about me sharing this with the entire world. but, and then like the next day, another kid, and then a couple days later, another kid, and Emily and I got sick. And so like I spent last Monday on my back in bed all day, and it was, man colds are not fair. my wife was like sick for like a week and a half, and she just kept trucking, and I was sick for like a day and a half, and I was like, I'm gonna die. it's not fair. But anyway, we're all finally better. One kid never got sick. One out of seven. She's completely fine.
And your immune system, man.
I don't know what it is, man. They all have the same experiences. So it's not like she's got some uber immune system, unless she got more of it than of my wife's immune system than the rest of our kids. Because Emily is just, she's a beast. Like, what? She doesn't even get fevers when she gets sick. She's just like, and then she's fine. So anyway, but we're fine now. Everybody's feeling better. So back up to speed.
Yeah, I'm glad. Well, there's been a lot of sickness here too. So far we've been able to dodge it, which has been amazing and a blessing. And I'm knocking on wood and hoping that I don't get jinxed here, end up getting sick.
I don't believe in jinx.
But yeah, so yes, yeah. So we'll see, man. But yeah, things in my life have been, we've been kind of busy picking up stuff, church stuff. We've been doing, of course, David, we've chatted about a little bit about this, but again, our church has been joining together with another church in our community and just doing church together for 6 weeks, which has been kind of wild to see. And, and we've been calling it One Church. Again, just out of the blue, wasn't planned in a sense, but our pastor just all of a sudden had a burden to talk to another pastor in our community. Mm. God's been doing some amazing things with it. And of course, like anything, when God's working, Satan's working too. And sometimes the negativity speaks louder than the positivity, but that's just ministry, man. So, but it's awesome to see what God has been doing. So that we, of course, have been busy with that.
We should do an episode once that's over, like once that comes to whatever end it's supposed to come to. We should do like a wrap up review. Like, I want to hear about like what the Lord did throughout all of it. Maybe even, I don't know if this is possible. So no guarantees, but it'd be cool if we could get one or both of the pastors on to just ask them about how things went for the congregations and even in their own spiritual life. I don't know. I would be interested to hear how it went, because the partnership, the stuff that we've talked about off air, I'm very intrigued to see what the Lord does through these relationships and how it can help the church overall, big church, universal church, how that can help us move forward as the body of Christ.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. There's some things we can talk about too. is the, and again, I don't want to get too far into it, but one thing I would love for us to possibly hash out with that is whenever you do something that's big, that's really a God-sized thing, and God,
big BHAG.
Yeah, BHAG. Big, hairy, audacious goal for those who don't know what that means. But anything that's a God-sized thing, and it has nothing to do with you, talk about how in the midst of that, there's always going to be a sense of negativity where Satan's working.
Oh, absolutely. In
the midst of that. So, yeah, there's some of that going on, and we'll hash that out probably in another episode. But I'm really, really passionate about what we're going to be talking about today. And I think it's something that we do talk about a lot for as church culture, but it's a topic I think that we should revisit quite often, especially as pastors, as leaders over ministry. And that is this question of, are you a manager or are you a leader in your ministry? Okay. Right. A manager or a leader. And because some of us youth guys, we have a lot of youth guys who listen to this podcast and youth mm-hmm. girls that listen to this podcast. So a lot of us already understand kind of what this means, because some of us have experienced great senior leaders, great people who are over us in leadership, but we've also experienced people who are over us and leaders over us that didn't do that good of a job. So we've experienced
in certain areas.
Yes, and so we experience in both. And I think the reason why, one of the reasons, is because of how we approach our leadership. Do we approach it as a manager? And what that looks like is, I am managing people. Like, I'm going to manage people, make sure you do what you do. And kind of like think about a manager in a business. They're just over people, making sure that they produce what they're supposed to produce.
Like a factory.
Yes, produce what you're supposed to do. Or if you're in a fast food joint, like I was at Chick-fil-A, my manager was just making sure I was doing my job.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
You fry what you're supposed to fry.
Yeah, yeah. And let me give you a little picture of what that looks like. So say if you're, and some of you who are, a lot of you probably can relate to this, is when you're in a staff meeting, a church staff meeting, and that meeting, there's not a spiritual component in it whatsoever. There's no prayer. There's no underlining, talking about the needs of our church in the sense of spiritual needs. There's no casting vision of where God wants us to be. It ends up being nothing but a business meeting where we're talking about numbers, how many people showed up to your event, how much money did we get, and again, no spiritual component. That is how a manager runs things, because that's how you run a business, and that's how you run a corporation or whatnot.
And it's not like one end of the pendulum swing or the other in a staff meeting. Like, it's not like all numbers and all info and all data sheets and charts.
Yeah.
And it's not just a devotional and go have fun doing your job. It's you gotta balance it, because, and I think this will be something that for the rest of the conversation, I think will be helpful for everybody to understand that when it comes to the difference between managing and leading, and we'll get into what each of those actually is, like definition wise, in a second. But I think a good reminder for us, and I might have said this in the last episode, I'm really not sure, because I've slept since then, so I don't remember a whole lot. But my brother-in-law down in Florida said, he's a pastor down there, and he's told me several times. He said there's two things you have to know about leading a church. You can't run it like a business, and you have to run it like a business. Mm-hmm. and if you can understand the difference between those two and why those coincide, it'll help you as you seek to lead in your church, because leading a church, like a local, when we say church, we're talking like a local gathering of believers in a particular geographical area. That is a different ball of wax than a whole lot of other business settings, as it were.
Yeah. And again, when we're talking about manager, and is a manager and leader. We're talking about management is how being over people and overseeing people. That's kind of the mindset, overseeing mm-hmm. people. Think more of that way. But a leader is so much more of that. A leader actually is someone who, again, still over people, still overseeing. But the difference is that, again, we're talking about biblical leadership now. When we're talking about leadership, we're talking about biblical leadership. Servant leadership, serving your staff, serving the people that's under you, but also partnering with, coming alongside, casting vision, where God wants us to be, and walking alongside your staff in that process. And so it's for instance, a staff meeting, we'll just take that for instance. Mm-hmm. A good leader, good biblical leader, of course we're going to be talking about numbers, okay? You can't get away from that. But the difference is we're going to, the whoever your leader is, the leader in that room is going to be like, what can I do to partner with you to make your job better and make you more effective in reaching people?
What can make I it do? Easier for you to attain the goals that you're shooting for.
Exactly. It's a sense of, I am here for you. I'm here for you. I'm here for your success, even if it means me being less than, to make you successful in a sense of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What can I do to make it easier for you? And within that is also, again, casting. You're still leading, being a leader, casting vision of where you want to go. But when that vision is cast, it's not like this is where we're going to go, then you walk in the other door. It's you cast a vision and then partnering with your people to make that vision happen.
Yeah.
Walking alongside.
And there's a huge component of this that comes down to communication and effective communication, and not effective communication as in, you are clearly understanding the English words that I'm using and their dictionary definitions. The type of effective communication that gets to the why behind a lot of different aspects of the conversation. So like in the staff meeting, since that's the example that we're parking on, I think it's a fantastic idea to use, because it's good if you're like the senior leader in the room. So if this is a staff meeting for church leadership, or if this is you leading your youth leadership team meeting and letting them know, you know, this is what's going on and working with them. What the big why on the wall for all of us is glory to God. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Right under that is soul saved.
Yeah.
Less people in hell, more people in heaven, to the glory of God, which is the higher up words on the wall. So knowing that that is like the big why, and then we have the Great Commission that is telling us a lot of like the purpose and the vision and the mission of, you know, going and making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. All of those, that is all of the big fat paint splotch of why on the wall. And it's the meetings that you're having, like in staff meeting and your youth leader meetings, in training sessions, whatever you're doing, is the hashing that out of how do we do that in the context of the culture of our county or our city or our town or whatever. And so having the ability to take those big whys and translate them to stay in line with the truth of Scripture while melding that to the culture that you're sitting in, so that it's not, maybe make sure I'm saying this correctly, not so that it fits in with the culture, but that when you offer the message to the culture, they receive it more readily, if that makes sense. And that starts with like me as a leader effectively communicating it to the culture of the group that I'm with so that they receive it more readily. Yeah. And I think this is something like you probably heard this when we were students in college and even when we were serving together in the church. If you want your people to catch the vision, you have to repeat it till you're blue in the face. And by the time that you get absolutely sick of talking about it, they'll start picking it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you spent some time. Two things you said, which I'm glad you talked about. One is communication. Mm-hmm. I don't think I guess I can say it a different way is sometimes I don't think we value communication as much as it should be valued. And here's what I mean by that is okay. we can spend a lot of times on other things that are important, like you're definitely like preparing a lesson. Mm-hmm. Some of us, like me, are right now in a sense of I'm doing a lot. Mm-hmm. On our programming night or nights on Sunday nights. So I'm doing worship. I'm setting up the songs for that. We use multi-tracks. So I got to set up all the MIDI cues for ProPresenter, all that stuff, all the tech stuff. Oh yeah. 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 It's
stacking a lot of chairs.
it's got part of ministry, and we may do an episode on wearing many hats and how to do that well. But so we got all these things that are important, especially for the night to run smoothly, because you want it to run smoothly for the gospel or whatever message you're bringing forward to be heard very clearly. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, all of us, if we're honest, we all waste our time in a sense of other things are not necessarily that important. Like some of us get caught up hours trying to plan the game. Which a game? The game is great, but sometimes we're playing hours of trying to set up the perfect game for the night.
The perfect one.
Yeah. So again, but we do that at the cost of not being effective in communicating with our parents, communicating with our leaders, communicating with our people, because part of even from our leadership perspective for our leaders in our ministries is you want buy-in. In other words, you want them to understand the value of what you're doing and to be bought into that. But how you do that, the one aspect of doing that is communicating well and making sure you have a good system of communicating.
Yeah. Let's take that one step further backwards. We're going to get inception here. All right. In order for us to get to that point where we are communicating effectively to the team, we have to be communicating effectively with the Lord.
Correct.
Because our vision that we're casting, the information that we're sharing, the leadership we're trying to provide, as it should be filtered through the truth of Scripture, we have to ask those questions. And we may be like, all right, really? You got to talk about this? Yes. You have to ask the question, why do we have a game? You need to have an answer for that. Why do we have small group time? You need to have an answer for that. Why do we have announcements? Why do we have small groups? Why do we have worship? Why do we teach the Bible when we meet? Like, we need to have a well thought out answer for that. I would say, and this is something that I think was more provided for me along the way, and I didn't have to reinvent the wheel with this when I was full time as a youth pastor, but. I think we should have something that's like a well thought out paragraph of information that we can pare down into a sentence or something like that to communicate to our team, so that when someone else asks the question, they're able to give a succinct answer. It's not about giving the shortest possible answer. It's about giving an answer as to the why we're doing what we're doing in a way that makes sense and isn't like just word salad. For example, I had a student text me a long time ago and say, why do you split the small groups between the genders? Because I had them age and gender split. So there's a small group boys of middle school, and then there's a high school small group for guys, and then same for girls, high school, middle school. So I had four small groups in the youth group, and then small group leaders for each one. And they were like, why'd you split the genders? And so I gave, because I knew who the student was and whatnot, the relationship there, I gave a more lengthy answer. But to my leadership team, although I have this paragraph of information in the back of my head, and if they want to know it, I can tell them, I can give them a couple of succinct things. This is why we have them split up into genders. And so if someone asks you, you can give them this answer, but also bringing them into the process of that why, not necessarily, well, let me get your take on this, Ryan. Maybe not necessarily to create the why with you, but to understand the why so they have the buy-in they need. Would it be, and this is a question off the cuff, do you think the leadership team should be a part of every why that you come up with.
You talking about for is understand have an understanding of every why?
No, coming up with the why. Itself.
It depends. Like it again, it's really hard to there's a lot of value in it, but it's really hard to give a definite yes and a definite no, because it really depends on your situation and how your church is structured and things like that. But
which means we need to know what that is.
Correct. But there is more, again, going back to buy-in and finding value in when you come up with those whys together. Mm-hmm. But part of it as a leader, too, is you want to coaching, in other words, discipling mm-hmm. your leaders in that process. In other words, we work together, we come up together, but at the same time, you're still making the final decisions, but you're working together to a common point. Now, when you do that, yes, there is going to be more buy-in. There's going to be more sense of this is valuable and find value in it, which leads to, again, this is another byproduct of this. It leads to retaining volunteers. Retaining your leaders. When your leaders are part of that and part of decision making, again, to step back a little bit, it also depends on the quality of your leaders. And here's what I mean by that.
Please define.
is if you're not, if you're just trying to put bodies in a room, if you're just trying, let's just talk about small group leaders or whatnot, you're just trying to fill a body in a room. Those type of people don't necessarily need to be the ones working together to make a decision and find the whys.
We call that the C word, chaperone.
Yeah, but
that's a cuss word in youth ministry.
yes, it is. Yeah, a lot of ways it is. But on the other side of that, the other aisle of that is if you're actively recruiting and training people who want to be there, that are invested in the students' lives. Those people are the ones you want to wrap around and figure out the whys together. And once you do that and they see the value, those you will retain them. There's a high retention.
Some of them you don't even have to explain the why to. They already get it.
Correct. and that's the point.
Yeah.
Not saying you have to, like, again, you may have leaders that are younger or inexperienced in ministry that you as a leader are come alongside coaching / discipling.
Yeah.
And moving through a spiritual journey as they're also leading. Doesn't mean you don't have those types of people. The difference is that you're intentional with those type of leaders. You're very mm-hmm. intentional. And again, you're not just filling a body in a room. It's a multifaceted answer, but it really depends on the type of how you're recruiting and how you're investing in your leaders. It depends on how you answer that question.
Yeah, and I think so. As we've been kind of hitting on a few different things here, one of the things that I've noticed is that we're really kind of hammering in on leaders and how we approach being a leader. Because to be honest with you, managing just has a bad taste. Like, it just tastes bad when you say it, because even just the things that we've said so far, we're talking about like investing in the lives of other people. And that's kind of what it boils down to. Like, all of these different aspects, it's basically just a different lane on the same road of investing in the life of another person. Because if you're just setting the bar of excellence at, I'm going to be a good manager, you're not investing in the lives of the people that you're managing. You're basically just trying to squeeze as much water out of that rock as you can. And that's a difficult task to do, because people know when, I don't know how subliminal this is. Is that the right word? I don't know how well we know it in our subconscious, but people can tell when you are there to help them succeed and thrive versus you're using them. Like maybe not all of us figured out right away, but people will eventually catch on, some more faster than others, but we will eventually catch on if we're being used. And if we feel like we're being used, then that means that I think we've fallen into the management road and not the leadership road, because a leader ultimately seeks to reproduce Christ in the life of another person, not themselves. I think that's a key that maybe this will come with age as we grow up and get wiser. But like, I think we have an innate desire as human beings to reproduce ourselves. That's why we make babies.
Agreed.
But, and there's an aspect of this that's, it's part of the created order. Like that was God's first command to Adam and Eve, make a bunch more. that's the DSV. So we have that innate desire. We have it built into the DNA, and we have that innate desire to reproduce ourselves. Which is also part of the problem because when we stink without Christ, we stink and we sin constantly. And I think the natural rut we fall into is just manage people. Get them to do what I want. This might be a hot take, but it either is almost, or it exactly is, you become a dictator, not a leader.
It depends on how you define manager and leader. Okay. We're looking from a biblical perspective of what leadership is. So I want to make sure that's clear up front. But when I say this is that a manager and working with people, they're and a leader. The differences between the two there's a selfishness and unselfishness between the two. A manager, just being over people, just putting people into place, making sure they just produce whatever you want to produce, and that's your concern. And whether it's numbers, you fill in the blank, whatever that is in your context, and there's no investment. So you're not investing in those people. Mm-hmm. So there's a selfishness of, I'm not going to spend my time, which sacrifice my time to invest in the spiritual well-being and discipleship of my leaders. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a manager. Even when you may not even realize you're doing it, but your actions, again, speak louder than your words. You can say whatever you want to all day. Yeah. But your actions speak much louder.
It's like always trying to harvest and never sowing.
Yeah. And so, but the opposite of that is is for a leader. A leader is invested. A leader is pouring into. A leader is sacrificing their time. A leader is sacrificing their wants and desires to a point. Let's just be honest. That's a leader. And that's the difference between the two. And again, it takes an intentionality, because all of us naturally, some form or fashion, want to slip into manager mode because it's so much easier, so much less time.
It's because we think our way is the best.
Yeah, like for me, like I naturally, I'm an introvert, so I'm naturally don't like talking to people. I'm just be honest.
I appreciate you, Ryan. Thank you for talking with me every week on Tuesdays while we record for the podcast.
Yeah. So my I love people, but how my cup is filled up is by being alone. And so I have so many words in a day, and once those words are done, I'm shot. And that's just how God has wired me. But it takes someone like me saying, "Man, I really want to go home tonight." After programming, after Sunday night or Wednesday night, I really want to go home. But man, one of my leaders is dealing with the issue. I really need to spend some time talking with him, talking it out, and sacrificing what I want to invest into my leaders because I care about them. And again, it's a different mindset, different subsection of how you're thinking than when a manager looks at people. They're just trying to fill by in your room, get things done, and get out.
Butts and plates butts and seats and nickels and plates.
Yeah. And so,
and again,
like I said, it's very easy for all of us. I fall in this camp sometimes, and I have to, quite frankly, I have to repent of it because I can make a fairly good argument from a church aspect, how you're not living the biblical model of what a pastor is or what a church leader is. You're not living that model out biblically. So I can make it hard
if you're just managing.
Yes. If you're just managing, not investing, not caring.
You know, the way, I don't exactly know what you just said that triggered this thought, but I just realized there's a connection here. If, do you know what the logical next step is if you slip from leadership to lead in this conversation for the way we're defining these two words? Do you know what the next logical step from leadership to management is after you slip from leading to managing?
Enlighten.
I'll just do it myself.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know what? Fine. I'll just do it myself. And then the next step is burnout.
Absolutely. That is a great point. A great point that it can lead to slippery slope to wanting to do things on your own.
Yeah. And that's not, I don't say that because you are, you being the person we're talking about, this nebulous ministry leader. It's not because you have nefarious intent. It's not because you have maliciousness in mind. It is a natural slippery slope we get ourselves into if we're not careful. Because, and I've said this before to people, if without proper maintenance, everything slides left. Everything.
Yeah.
I mentioned this in a sermon once, and one of my more intellectual people talked to me about it afterwards because they're like, well, you didn't get this exactly right. I was like, you get the principle. The second law of thermodynamics, it talks about entropy and everything decaying over time. It's the same thing with ministry. If you're not careful to maintain proper biblical leadership, it'll slip into management, which will slip into final, just do it myself, which will slip into burnout, which will slip into a medical event, and you no longer are in ministry or on the planet.
Yeah. And again, that's a challenge for everyone, for every one of us who are in ministry. The biggest thing, it's again, goes back to, ultimately, it goes back to, where's your relationship with God? Are you making that a priority of your life? That's the underlying part of all this. But on top of that, besides that aspect that should be a part of our life as pastors, is we're leading our, make sure we're leading ourselves. Yeah, but besides that, every single one of us has to make a decision every single day. Mm-hmm. Am I going to be intentional in my leadership? Am I going to be intentional in my ministry? And again, the two biggest, and we talk about this all the time, David, that there's two biggest aspects of your ministry is not necessarily students. Mm-hmm. Students is a byproduct of that. Ministering students is a byproduct of this. But your majority of your time needs to be in two places, and equipping in two places. And that's equipping your leaders and ministering to your leaders, discipling them. And the second aspect that of is parents. Those two aspects of your ministry is what you're going to see flourish and trickle down into your students. But with that takes a day-to-day intentional decisions that I'm going to make this a priority. Because those of you can't see, because we don't have a video up, but David's sitting there grabbing his Bible, holding it up on the screen. It's been making a decision every day. Every day, like in my, again, I'm not perfect at this. And David, we're not perfect. And any one of us here are not perfect at this. But it's knowing that that's what we have to do in order to be great leaders that make disciples, that make disciples, that make disciples.
That make disciples, that make disciples, that make disciples. We could keep going and you guys will eventually figure it out. And of course now I have forgotten the reference, rats. That's okay. There's an aspect of this conversation that we have not covered yet that I think would be important for us to hit. And I'm not sure if we're going to be wrapping up yet or not, but, there's a part of this in order for us, I think, to be, good biblical leaders and not slip into the management slope. We have to have other people in our life that are allowed to tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and still be friends afterwards.
Yep.
And Brian, if you know what this reference is, I'm going to look it up while we're talking because I need to read this from Scripture. But one of the passages I was thinking of was in Proverbs 17, I was actually just referencing this. I found it in the other one, but Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. And if you're in ministry right now and you don't think you're in adversity in ministry, then you don't understand what spiritual warfare is. Mm-hmm. But the other one is, there it is. Okay, found it. Here it is. Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And then right before that, it says, better is open rebuke than hidden love.
yeah.
So the reason I'm bringing that up is because there are a lot of us in ministry that over the last 4 years have been dropping like flies. Ministry got hard. COVID really took it out of a lot of guys. And I'm not going to, poo all over you, but there are a lot of guys in ministry that don't have anyone who's allowed to speak into their life. We can't just have people that are allowed to speak the truth to us. We have to have people that are allowed to speak the truth and still stick around and still let them continue to speak the truth, even though it hurts. And it's not for the sake of hurting you. It's not for the sake of being a turd. It's not for the sake of a holier than thou type conversation. It's not just for the sake of wounding another person. Or bringing them down off their high holy horse or whatever nefarious motivations you can come up with. The way like Paul addressed it with the Corinthian church, you know, I'm glad that my last letter caused sorrow because it led you to repentance. Not for the sake of sorrow's sake, but for the sake of you repenting of your sin and getting back on the straight and narrow and refocusing, because without proper maintenance, everything slides left. So look, this is really, really hard to do. Okay. Like if you're married, you know, it's really hard when you do something so stupid that your spouse is like, not a good idea. or you just hurt me. Like I'm not very good at this at all. I'm just being straight up with you. I have a hard time letting other people speak truth into my life beyond a certain point. I don't, maybe it's because I'd like to think that I'm teachable, I hope, but there are times in my life where I've said something out loud or I've done something. And like, even I know at one point, like that was dumb. but hearing someone else say that to you does not feel good, but their motivation's on them. That's between them and Jesus. But if they love you and they love you enough to speak the truth to you about your stupidity and then still love you enough to stick around, I think it would be wise of us to not cut those people out of our life. And I think if you're a born-again believer and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, he will give you the wisdom to discern who's just trying to mess up your life and who actually loves you and cares about you. But it takes some intentionality. So all that to say, we need to allow people speak not just into our own spiritual lives, but into our leadership style and into the way that we're leading others so that it can help refine us as uncomfortable as it gets. Because as much as we've talked about it throughout this entire conversation, that is letting someone else disciple us. And we cannot disciple someone if we are not being discipled. So you can't walk out there thinking, I'm going to be Paul to everybody. You got to be Timothy to somebody. You got to be Barnabas to somebody. you got to be, you know, whoever the faithful man to somebody, the teach others also part, like the Second Timothy process. You got to be those generations for somebody else. Somebody needs to be investing in you. You got to let that happen. We have to stay teachable. Because, and I've told teenagers this before, this will be the last thing I say about this. If you think you've arrived, you are at the wrong destination.
Correct.
You have to stay teachable for the rest of your life. So, as Forrest Gump says, that's all I have to tell you about Viet. hopefully, I know that we kind of hit on a whole bunch of different things today, guys. But really, the desire here is to help us think through the process of, am I leading people to Jesus or am I just managing productivity and what I think things should be? And hopefully that got you guys thinking. We thank you for listening to us today. We love doing this. And if you haven't yet, please leave a comment and a star review. Thank you, Sammo, for the latest comment review. I know exactly who that is. He used a pseudonym. I know who it is. but thank you. And if you guys will do that for us, just leave a comment or even just a star review. That allows us to keep our podcast near the top of the search results for people who are looking for new, updated ministry content for youth or student ministry. So, and if there's a topic you'd like to hear about, or something you want us to rehash or maybe just dive deeper on, we'd love to hear from you as well. You can connect with us either on Facebook or Instagram. We have a Facebook group as well as the page, so you can actually join the group and you can discuss youth ministry with me and Ryan and the others that are in the group. We've had several people join recently, but we would love to connect with you there. You can also email us at youthandculturepodcast@gmail.com.
Well, guys, stay tuned for our next episode.